Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, Sean, you done stepped off in it. Come on, Sean. Gosh damn it, man.
It's Texans Training Camp. Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studio, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, that's right. It is Texans Training Camp, and we are happy to be joined by Seth and Sean, Payne and Pendergast. They are joining us from West Virginia with a practice report courtesy of Yuengling. I'm sure you guys have probably had one or two since you've been in West Virginia thus far. Clint is sure that Sean is going to fall into one of these local spots and have him a couple.
I'm thinking about going to Route 60 Bar and Grill a little later on tonight. So, yes, I will be meeting locals. I've only gathered names of a few locals here in the area. Bill was my cashier at Food Lion last night. Very nice guy.
Bill.
Semi-retired. So I chatted him up a little bit. And then the securities guy's name today at the Greenbrier is named. I said, "What's your name?" He said, "Willie Brown."
Yeah.
And I said, "Willie Brown," like all one word? He's like, "No, Willie, first name and last name." Okay, you're downtown Willie Brown to me now, man, just so you know. So
those are the
two friends I've made. And Seth.
Yeah.
That counts, Clint.
I thought you were going a different direction with that semi-retired cashier. Because there was a cashier yesterday as I crossed the border from Maryland into West Virginia who couldn't tell me what city and state I was in when I stopped at the gas station and I said, "Hey, what city is this? And like, am I in West Virginia or am I in Maryland?" And he's like, "I don't know, man."
Hey, I would have immediately.
So that's
thought,
what like, I knew I was in West Virginia.
Yeah.
I would have immediately thought, boy, I need more of that guy in my life. Like, I need to be more like that guy.
Yeah.
I don't know what the legality is right these days,
man.
But this guy was affected.
How liberating is that to not give a damn of what state you live in?
That man probably said, he's thinking, "Seth, I thought you had it."
This is a guy that showed up to work stoned, and I think he probably, he knows that he's right on the border, and he just didn't, in that particular moment, he wasn't quite sure. I think he had just started working there.
All right, hey, I want to start with you. I want to hear this from both of you guys from your vantage point. I'll start with you, Seth, and Sean. You can jump in after.
Mm-hmm.
What was your just overall feeling and takeaway from today's practice? Because we've heard a lot and seen a lot of reports from different people who were there. But from your all's vantage point, what did you see today out of practice?
This is what I'll tell you. Let's start at the end and then go to the beginning. And at the end, the guy who probably summed it up most was Sean T. Pendergast, who pointed out as the team came together, the defense, they looked like they were in a high school football movie about the way you play football. They're jumping up and down and hollering and everything, and the offense just kind of looked like they were like grudgingly going to church on Sunday. They were like, "We're gonna go again, Mom."
Yeah.
There's a lot of life and a lot of energy and a lot of activity to the defense. The offense looks a lot like a group that's trying to figure things out while also doing it against that Texans defense. And there's a lot of. It's a struggle. It's a struggle for the offense, and it looked like a struggle today.
Yeah.
I think every on the final 2 minute drill. The ones, the twos, and the threes all threw an interception.
Oh, the last play was a pick on all of them.
So if what you're aiming for is consistency, it was a hell of a day by the offense.
Right. That's right. That's right. Yeah, just to dovetail off of what Seth said, it looked like we were watching two different franchises out there at the end. It was like the two groups, the offense and defense, weren't on the same team.
I'll tell you, you know what I told you, Sean? if you remember, was you guys just hang out. Sean and I are going to do a show. It reminded me of when I was in high school. We had like 19 kids on my high school team, and we went over and scrimmaged Fairport, which was a powerhouse. And they had four platoons of offense and four platoons of defense. And me and 10 of my friends, because the other eight guys sucked, were out there like every single rep going against the ones, the twos, the threes, and they just beat the snot out of us.
Yeah.
That's what it looked like. It looked like my bad high school football team going against an NFL team.
Yeah, well, guys, what do y'all – talk a little bit about the offensive line. I know there was, I guess, Cam Robinson maybe banged up a bit, and so they had some Titus move to tackle and Ursary moved from right tackle to left tackle and Juice Scruggs in, and the overall offensive line play just not being up to speed. You know, what are we seeing now, and what do you expect moving forward?
If there are two things that I noticed today, one a positive is to Ariante Ursary, he has his moments where he looks like a rookie. I think there were a couple times where he was out in space where he looked a little unsure of himself. But on his nice pass protection reps, some of them I saw were against Will Anderson, some were against Danielle Hunter. He looks every bit the part. I mean, he's really long. He gets on, he gets back off the line really quickly on his drops. And he, when it's right, it looks really smooth. And he uses all of his length. He has hiccups here and there, but I can totally see the potential for him. The interior and some of the sorting out is where there's still work to be done in the run game. I think that I tried to dial in on the centers, and right now at center, Jarrett Patterson and Jake Andrews are the two guys that have been going with the ones and the twos. I think if what you're looking for is a physical run blocker who can be part of double team and defensive tackles up into the lap of the linebacker, which the Texans really want to do, that Jake Andrews has, he looks like a guy who was a high school wrestler, which he was, uses his hands real well, has a good base, just keeps his feet moving. He looks really stout. Jarrett Patterson isn't as put together physically, but I still think that akin to last year, they liked him mentally more than they liked Juice Scruggs when it came to making the calls and everything. So I think that he might have an appeal above and beyond necessarily the physical battles in camp. But just me, as a former nose tackle, watching those two, I try to look at it just through the lens of, all right, which guy do I want to play against less?
Yeah.
Right now, I wouldn't want to play against Jake Andrews in the run game as much. I think he's just more physical and more fundamentally sound. Pass protection, it might be a little bit more even of a battle.
The thing that got everybody talking at practice today, guys, and I know I'm sure you've probably talked about it because you saw the tweets and everything else, is that when Cam Robinson went out after the first rep and Ariante Ursary went over to left tackle, like Seth was just talking about, normally you would think that, okay, well, this is an opportunity for your swing tackle. In a normal NFL game, that's when your swing tackle would come in to backfill the right side.
It was,
side.
Sean.
Well, it was Titus Howard that got bumped out to right tackle, and Juice Scruggs, who's not had a good camp, was right guard with the ones. Right now, if we are taking the Texans' behavior today to be what it would mirror in the regular season, they've got more confidence in Juice Scruggs playing right guard than they do in Blake Fisher playing right tackle.
Yeah, and good. Zach Thomas played some left tackle as well. Zach Thomas, who came over from New England. So it's that when they moved Titus out to right tackle, that's where it was a reality check for me. That, all right, boy, we really don't have a whole lot of guys that you can feel confident in right now.
Titus is okay at right tackle, though.
Sean, you act like you have never heard of not someone having being a right guard and a swing tackle all at the same time. That's what Titus is, baby.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure, he hadn't played a snap over there all camp, but why not?
Yeah. I don't know if Blake Fisher had some injuries or something that he was dealing with in the offseason, but if he slimmed down at all, I don't think it was in a good way necessarily. You're hoping a lot of times with offensive linemen, especially. Remember with Blake Fisher, when they drafted him, the book was pretty much that, hey, he's probably a project, a 2-year project. So you hope to see a guy like that come back just looking stouter in his second season, and I don't think that's what we saw with him.
Sean, on the offensive side of the ball, Sean and Seth with us as they witness practice today in West Virginia. Check them out as they are live there each and every morning. They'll be there all week, 6 to 10 a.m., Payne and Pendergast. Sean, who on the offensive side of the ball looked good today, got you excited today at practice?
I would say it got me excited. Not much, but there were a few. I think Woody Marks has looked good. I think Woody Marks had a few nice runs, like not training camp runs where the guy like gets mauled by three guys and then just as soon as they let him go, he sprints towards the goal line and everybody cheers. It's like he legitimately had some really nice, you know, found some creases in there and showed a lot of good bursts. D'Amico even talked about him, I think, in his press conference. He cited Woody Marks. So Woody Marks, and I would say that the battle for the back end of the receiving room right now is turning into an intriguing one. I think the guys we know are going to be on this team are Nico Collins, Christian Kirk, and then the two rookies that they drafted out of Iowa State, Higgins and Knoll. So there's probably two spots left for four guys. Depending on what they do with the return game, if Berrios, you know, has an impact there, maybe they do like they did with Steven Sims last year, and they take six receivers and a kick returner. But they're like one of Hutchinson or Mechie or Justin Watson or Berrios, like one of those guys isn't going to make the team. And I think that's significant because they've said a lot of good things about Hutchinson in the offseason, and he's done some good things in camp. Mechie's had a really good week of camp, going back to the padded practices last week, and he made a nice play today when there weren't many nice plays made on the offensive side. And I think Watson is a guy that I expected to make the team just because he's a guy with Super Bowl experience, and he's made plays in big games. He's a good player. And then there's Berrios. So that's an intriguing one to me. The tight ends had been playing well, but there were some drops today. Dalton Schultz had a catch he probably should have made. Petrie knocked away. Brevin Jordan it would have been the best play of the day. He had nobody near him, and CJ found him just wide open down the middle and just dropped the ball. So that's been kind of an antithesis of what the tight end room has been. The tight end room's been pretty decent. But those are the ones I would say that were intriguing. CJ's really struggled. I'll just say that. I know you were asking about good things, but CJ's really struggled.
There was, I think the one thing with interceptions during training camp, I always try to be pretty tolerant of them because I want my quarterbacks to be taking chances more so than being conservative in a no-risk environment. Today, it looked like there were times where he just didn't have answers or just he almost threw a pick to Jalen Petrie that was just point blank in the red zone to Jalen Petrie when there were no receivers around him. And that's a little bit more concerning. I think there's times where CJ just looked like perhaps through no fault of his own, but he just didn't have any answers for what he was seeing out there because the defense was playing so well.
Seth, what is your take on – we all understand the dynamic of you got a championship-caliber defense and an offense that's trying to install, trying to find an identity, overhaul the offense. There's a lot going on offensively. What do you, when you look at this, there's clear that dynamic is part of what the issue is with the offense.
I think
how long do you watch this as a former player and go, hey, I can chalk that up to the situation before you start going, nah, we just aren't very good here, or we got to be different here, we got to be better there. How long? What's the grace period for you?
I think there are a couple things that today, if I'm gonna kind of just calm myself down and not freak out too much about one practice, it's that the offense has had some good days so far during camp as they're going against a very good defense. So the offensive line specifically and how those guys perform physically, that's where I just, you know, there's certain excuses you can't make when guys are just getting beat in one-on-one pass rush. So that makes me nervous. Today, the defense did do some funky things, and DJ Bieniemy noticed it first and pointed it out. And, you know, D'Amico doesn't want us saying exactly what the defense was doing. But I think they threw a couple wrinkles in today that perhaps caught the offense off guard. And in training camp, that does happen, especially when you're working a new offense. So if I'm going to make at least a partial excuse today, it's that, man, some of the exotic stuff is really hard to pick up on the fly, whether you're a good defense, a bad defense, or not, or a good offense or a bad offense when you're going against a defense.
I'll add to that real quick on the defense throwing things in the mix here. CJ Gardner-Johnson had a pick six today off of CJ, like just a quintessential safety jumps the route.
Yeah.
CJ didn't see him, pick six to the house. You can imagine what the celebration looked like, guys. But I interviewed CJ Gardner-Johnson after practice, and the first thing I said to him was, hey, let's act like this is the post-game show. So my first question is going to be, take me through the pick six. You know, Clint, like we did with Stingley last year.
Absolutely.
And that's what CJ Gardner-Johnson said. It was a new drop that they had just put in.
Yeah.
It was a brand new wrinkle they had put in the defense that they got him with. So
all right,
you're spot on.
We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. The info is great. Good to hear from your perspective of what you saw, and we'll do that all week long as Seth and Sean, again, catch them in the morning. They're live out there in West Virginia checking out the Texans as they continue training camp up there. Enjoy yourselves, fellas. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, guys.